out of the Women's World Cup. It's the first time they've failed to reach the knockout stages of the competition. Morocco and Colombia are through to the next round, which starts on Saturday. The headlines again. Interest rates are going up. The quarter point rise means the Bank of England base rate is now 5.25%, its highest level since April 2008. The Governor, Andrew Bailey, says rates will not be cut until there is clear evidence that inflation is falling. Five people have been arrested after activists climbed onto the roof of the Prime Minister's North Yorkshire home to protest against North Sea oil and gas drilling. There's a heavy police presence in Washington, D.C., ahead of this evening's appearance in court by the former President, Donald Trump, where he'll be formally charged with plotting to overturn his defeat in the 2020 presidential election. The budget homeware chain Wilko has announced it's going into administration. BBC News.
And the news was read by Tom Sanders. This is BBC Radio 4. The self-declared king and only member of the socialist realist movement, Ed Reardon, is off to Paris next to plug his new novel, which only he describes as seminal. That's after this.
This summer, let Mark Steele be your holiday guide. Why not try Whitby?
In summer, the population of Whitby, and I've checked this out, is 10 times the population of Japan. Stop going to Whitby!
Maybe Brighton.
Only in Brighton would you get half the population going, well, I actually prefer the burnt out pier.
Or perhaps Blythe?
There are stunningly beautiful lighthouse here that's also unique in its design because it's in the middle of the town, several streets from the sea.
Wherever you're going this summer, take Mark Steele's In Town. Download episodes now on BBC Sounds.
Ed Reardon's Week by Christopher Douglas. Episode 4, Ed in Paris.
And worse still, as I'm sure Radio Hearts and Bucks listeners will agree, is the asinine confraternity of TV writers, directors and actors boasting that their careers advisors urged them to get a job at Marks and Spencer's, the self-satisfied implication being that they've done incomparably better for themselves than that. I think it's high time hard-working careers advisors were given the right to reply, possibly over the end credits. See, I told him he was no good when he was 15 and I was right. Now you've wasted an hour watching him. Though probably not hearing him, because he mumbles so much you have to put the subtitles on. He did that when he was 15, too. Here endeth the life lesson.
Ed Reardon there, keeping it grumpy in the Radio Hearts and Books soapbox corner this morning. More on that overturned slurry truck holding things up on the A4251. Why can't they pump it in the river where it belongs? Texts Wine O'Clock Wendy. Some of us need to get to Tring. Feeling your pain, Wens. Here's Leo Sayer.
Oh, really?
Monday. I like to think there's still a place for the public intellectual, but it's possibly not Radio Hearts and Bucks' soapbox corner. It's sobering to reflect that Ed Reardon was once regarded as a hot young novelist, and yet more flatteringly, to quote the Sunday Times, a peddler of convoluted scrapings from the cesspit. No longer, it seems, cruel indeed are the vagaries of fashion. My current difficulty is that without Elgar as a sounding board, I have no way of trying out my opinions. To paraphrase E.M. Forster, or possibly Carol Kirkwood, how do I know what I think until my cat hears what I say?
Oh.
Sorry, Maggie, off chance. Do people who play the piano in railway stations annoy you?
Not as much as people who turn up unannounced. Is it soapbox corner day?
Oh, sorry if it's a bad moment.
I thought they'd ask you to list some things that you do like.
Yes, I offered them a few.
But they didn't like them?
Alas, no.
I've made a tray bake, if that's not on your blacklist.
I'm sure I know what that is, but I'm happy to withhold judgment.
Game changer.
What?
They say it all the time, any situation.
They do.
TV gardeners say it, property experts, you've had to write their own voiceovers.
You get it quite a bit on Radio 3, Composer of the Week, mainly.
Well, anyway, it's there if you want to use it as a bugbear.
Thank you. This tray bake.
Oh, it's just a new word for cake.
It's enormous! Game Terminator. Yes, please. You know, I'm beginning to wonder if the soapbox corner isn't a colossal waste of my time.
Oh, possibly.
Especially as, well...
No one likes it and you don't get paid?
That isn't necessarily a reason to stop doing something, Maggie. What about the pleasure of
ringing the bell on a bus when you've no intention of getting off, or writing a letter to Julian Fellowes without putting a stamp on it so he has to fork out £1.75. Both well worth doing, simply for their own sakes.
But I suppose as one gets older, you wonder how much time you've got left to waste.
Very little if you keep producing tray bakes. I used to run these thoughts past my cat, but now I sometimes say the first thing that occurs to me, which is probably a mistake. You know what, Maggie? I think we should get married. I'm serious.
You mean hungry?
No, I really do mean it. We'd get on pretty well. Yeah, I know there was a difference of opinion over the knitting weekend in Yorkshire. All water under Hebden Bridge. So what about it?
No.
Why not?
But what about Bill?
Has he ever asked you to marry him?
He's not free to do so.
Well, there you are, then. He's a dead loss in the marriage state.
We have an understanding.
Of knitwear?
No. OK, you force me to be blunt. Bill and I enjoy... Sorry, it's not very nice for you to have to hear the word city breaks, but that's the truth. You probably think I'm very mercenary.
Oh,
but...
for heaven's sake, you have more fun with me, admit it.
I don't just want to stay in every night drinking supermarket red and identifying clichés on TV.
Yes, I mean, there are worse ways of spending it, but yes, I do see.
And you only suggested it because you missed talking to your cat.
Well, I suppose there's an element of truth in that. Look, come and stay next weekend anyway.
Oh, we're going to Geneva.
Well, no guarantee you'll avoid clichés there. Swiss TV plots are full of holes, I imagine.
Bill has a very rich and grateful client there. It goes back 40 years.
What was I doing 40 years ago? Allowing Jazz Mulvane to turn my first novel into a film. That was a mistake.
Then write another one. And don't have anything more to do with Jazz Mulvane.
You're quite right, I shan't. I've a good mind to tell him to get stuffed on Monday.
You said you'd have nothing more to do with him.
I know, but he's my oldest friend. And at this time of life, you wonder how many unnecessary lunches you've got left.
Piece of good news.
Oh, made it through the night without getting up, Jazz?
Better than that. I'm to be offered a peerage.
What for?
Outstanding contribution to British cinema, mate.
You sure it wasn't the party political broadcast you made? That little girl with the skipping rope was very affecting.
It's the last thing an ornery rebel like me expected. After years of being a thorn in the side of the establishment, they suddenly turn round and tell me my movies generate significant soft power for Great Britain PLC.
Well, yes, if the government threatened to go and screen one of them in the European Parliament, I imagine we could extract whatever concessions we wanted.
Quite possibly.
Could rejoin the EU on terms of our choosing.
That's not a totally terrible idea. It also seems that the DCMS likes my trenchant views on the state of contemporary British culture.
Ah, you've been speaking out again about the need for poetry to rhyme.
Did you read my interview in Country Homes and Antiques?
Not closely. I only get it for the vegan slug pellet vouchers.
Well, I also made a plea for modern symphonies that you might actually want to whistle on top of the Clapham Omnibus. The minister was very impressed with my tweet, saying art is for everyone, not just the metropolitan elite.
So when the Garter King of Arms reads your citation, will it include all your films?
I won't mention you, if that's what you mean.
Oh, I've long given up hope of an apology for what you did to my novel. I was thinking more about the often overlooked It's a Nude, 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 Nude World from 1973.
Probably not that one either, but they get around to re-releasing everything eventually.
Rather pleased with my telling role in the opening sequence. I really must take up badminton again. I was unbeatable on my day. Would I be as good clothed, though? Perhaps not.
You were half a mile away in the back of the campsite shop, and not remotely telling. So, what have you been doing with yourself?
Oh, still going with the radio lectures. Not sure I'll do it anymore. I've a good mind to go back to France, where the public intellectual's still valued. I was never happier than when I was working in that Saint-Tropez bar by day, writing my first novel by night.
Ah, so you were drunk. That explains it.
Intoxicated, certainly, by the atmosphere of political turmoil. We thought the world could change. What was it everyone used to shout in those days? Sous les pavés la plage.
That or don't forget the fruit gums, Mum. Yes, we've come a long way. I have, certainly. I'm going to see if they'll let me use Lord Mulvane of Tinseltown.
Didn't Bergman bag that title?
I don't think Ingrid even got an MBE, did she? No, ennoblement isn't too shabby an achievement for a lad from Nottinghamshire whose careers advisor told him to get a job at M&S. True story.
Hi, Ed. Hello, Ping. Look, I'm remembering to click the little microphone with a red line. There.
You've just muted yourself,
Ed. No, you've gone. Wait a minute. Try this.
So we've had an inquiry from Paris.
Ah, you've come back. Go on.
Have you heard of a French publisher called Edition Globe?
No.
No, not surprised. Their office is in, like, the 94th arrondissement.
Sounds promisingly à gauche.
Not really. I've googled the Emily in Paris locations map and there is zero sign of Edition Klopp's office.
Well, hardly a reason to distrust them.
Ed, Emily works in marketing. If these bozos had any profile at all, I think she'd have heard of them.
Well, I never heard of Emily till this morning. There was a bishop on Thought for the Day, said she'd been downloading Emily Series 3, and that somehow got her onto St. Paul. Anyway, what about these publishers of yours?
They've asked for the rights to one of your books.
Oh, good. Which one?
Yeah, I'm just looking.
There were some quite good French recipes in the July chapter of John Ketley's Big Book of Weather.
No, it wasn't that. I copied it down somewhere.
Oh, I know which book it must be. Fred Siriac's Lose Weight, Get a Date, 2014. I shed half a stone waiting to be paid.
No, it was a title I hadn't heard of. The email came last week, but we've been so busy with stuff for Jazz's Lordship. Oh, I shouldn't have told you that. Don't breathe a word.
It's already made the inside pages of Metro, which I saw trodden into the floor of the train yesterday.
Oh, I can't find the name of the book. Everything's buried under these labels for the Lord Tinseltown wine range.
I'm sorry, Ping, I should never have introduced him to the agency.
You introduced Jazz? I don't think so.
Over 40 years ago.
Oh, I just assumed he brought you in because you were like his little beardy mate.
No. When they wanted to film my novel, Who Would Fardels Bear, they hadn't got a director. Jazz happened to be sleeping on my floor, so to my internal regret...
Oh, that's the name of the book. Who would... what was it?
Fardels Bear. It's a quotation from Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah. Winter's Tale, right?
No.
No. Exit Pursued by Fardels Bear.
No, it's Hamlet.
Hamlet. I saw Benedict Cumberbatch do that. Oh, my God. That scene with his mum. No wonder the French like it. So they want to republish Who Would Bardels Fair?
Bardels Bear.
Yeah, whatever. Your weirdy Oedipal nov. And they're having a launch in Paris. And the answer to your next question about per diems is absolument nonski. But they will pay Eurostar tickets and two nights accommodation.
Well, that's very good news. Surely we can't just let them have the rights for nothing.
Yeah, it looks like the agency negotiated an option for them to purchase the rights for £43.68. Wow, 43 quid was huge in 1976.
But somewhat less huge now.
We're lucky to get anything for it, TBH, the way things are now in publishing. I heard Davina McCall practically had to self-publish last Christmas. Kirsty and Phil literally did a course in printing on both sides. These are incredible. Incredibly tough times for serious creatives.
Ping, I'm going to need a suit of armour.
Oh, hi, Jazz. Yeah, it's been actioned and the horse. Soz, I'm just talking to Ed.
Never mind about him. I'm his senior in this agency, don't forget.
Is that Reardon on the ear roll for a job? He can be my page if he wants to do something useful.
Yeah, right, I'll ask.
Ping, just tell him I'm busy and don't be too specific. He doesn't need to know about this.
Tell him to buy some new shorts.
My novel has carried the taint of Jazz Milvain's incompetence for 47 years. But at last, it now stands a chance of being recognised as a valuable contribution to the social realist movement. I refer any doubters to the Yorkshire Post's 1976 review, like a bucket of cold water in this long, hot summer. Moreover, the French relaunch of Fardels has given me an opportunity to satisfy Maggie's appetite for that which every red-blooded woman who's ever read a Saturday supplement craves, a city break. It also means that the Berkhamsted Leisure Centre's adult education brochure is at least partially accurate in stating creative writing tutor Ed Reardon is an internationally renowned author with a passionate commitment to new writing.
Ken and Barbara consummated their love in the fold of a slag heap between the disused soapworks and the towpath of the malodorous canal.
Do we have to listen to this?
Well, the point here, Olive, is that for Ken and Barbara, the location, be it ever so satanic, is as romantic as any jasmine-scented balcony in fair Verona. That's the universality of the human heart.
We went to Verona once. My feet swelled up so badly, I couldn't fasten my muscle loose.
So the reverse can apply, Winnie. And it's remarkable, really, for a novel written 47 years ago, that Barbara is not only seeing Ken, but also Roy, who you'll recall has a duffel coat and a chance to go to university. Most novels of the time pose the question, which one should Barbara choose? But Who Would Fardels Bear asks, why should she not have both? And Brian, too, who drives an Avenger. So it's a deeply progressive novel in many ways.
Sorry, I'm late. I stopped to watch a woman reversing.
You haven't missed much, Stan. Hanky-panky on the slag heap.
Is it rather more than that?
Mind you, my niece, who lives in Spalding, she's in a polyamorous relationship. She reckons she gets the best of both worlds.
Wouldn't do for me. It's just an extra set of toenails to cut. No, thank you.
And it shares the load. The chap who likes going to concerts and the theatre doesn't have to bother with the allotment or driving my niece to the bowls club and vice versa.
So they find the practical benefits compensate for the blows to their amour propre.
Oh,
we're back on the slag heap again.
I can see some advantages of having two women.
I'm sure you can, Stan.
As long as they didn't mark the carpet when they came in. Or tamper with the barometer.
So, to return to tonight's topic, and I should have mentioned that Who Would Fardel's Bear is about to be reissued by the eminent French publisher Edition Clop.
Hope they know what they're letting themselves in for.
I'm going to the launch next weekend, taking a girlfriend on the Eurostar, as a matter of fact. So, a rare respite from hewing the creative coalface.
Is that her who has the other man with a new electric Volvo?
Yes. So, chapter 38... Roy lets down the tyres of Ken's motorbike.
Here we are, Maggie.
Two more large ones.
Ooh, and nuts.
Yes, or a nothing-mingling mech-zizoot on Croden, as we're free to say now we're this side of the channel.
Oh, careful. I saw Roger Daltrey in first class looking very disappointed about the lack of economic progress.
Well, I hope this makes up for your Geneva disappointment.
Oh, I'd much rather go to Paris on the Eurostar anyway.
Rather than be whisked round the clock museums by Bill? Sorry.
I'd have gone, but the car's got a radar detector and they're not allowed in Switzerland.
The kind of red tape that's held them back as a country. Anyway, thank you for coming. Here's to Fardel's.
Are you excited?
Well, I'm pleased the book's being recognised for what it was before Milvain got his filthy mitts on it.
What did he do with it exactly?
He made me turn it into a vehicle for Barbara Streisand called Happy Lady. It meant the heroine beat cancer, became a Broadway star, and married George Siegel, who didn't drive the Hillman Avenger, and nor did he sell leather coats from a stall in Leicester Market.
I thought Sally Field was in it.
Yes, Streisand turned it down. The rewrite had Sally running a ranch or something, so she was too busy to have a boyfriend. No, she had a boyfriend, but he got run over by a combine harvester or something. I'm not sure. I got the sack by then, so rather lost interest. What is that you're knitting?
A swimsuit.
Woolen?
All of them were at one time.
So they were. Mine was apt to descend without warning under sheer weight of municipal pool water.
That's where the four-ply bamboo yarn shoulder straps come in. Modesty guaranteed.
And rainbow colours suggest another yarn bombing protest.
Well, it's not a bombing this time, more of a trespass.
Even better.
For the right to swim for free in Bristol Harbour.
Well, that's made me hungry for seafood.
Drink up. I'll get the next.
As regards dinner tonight, there was a little bistro in the Marais.
What do you want?
Corner of the Rue de Rosier and Vieux de Tombe.
Bill, what do you want? Ed, sorry.
No, I'm okay, thanks.
You don't want to drink?
No, thank you.
Bonsoir, Monsieur Reda.
Non, merci.
Tour de Fel, monsieur?
No, we can see the Eiffel Tower perfectly well from street level, thank you.
Bateau mouche, monsieur?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
We located my bistro only to find the 10-franc menu chalked on the wall had been replaced by a glossy board the size of a door, displaying colour photos of everything from hot dogs to chickens in baskets, each accompanied by a salivating member of the Flintstone family. We dined in silence, but for the Muzak and Maggie knitting like a tricoteur's, as I sat condemned by my own Proustian stubbornness. In the morning, we made the journey out to Edition Clop, where things took a distinct turn for the better.
Welcome to Edition Clop, Monsieur Riordan. I'm Claude.
Thank you, Claude. This was rather a quiet area when I last visited, obviously more fashionable now. This is my friend Maggie.
Good to meet you, Maggie. Hotel is okay, I hope?
Yes, fine. It's good to be right in the thick of things.
Ah, they're filming exteriors for an episode of Emily in Paris out there.
Emily goes back in time to 1968?
No, Emily meets a truck driver and joins the Gilets Jaunes protesters.
Oh, yellow with Emily's skin tones.
We can ignore them. Now, I must tell you that it is a very great honour to meet a true giant of social realist movement, Monsieur Riordan.
Ed, please.
You know, one of my favourite characters in all English fiction is your Barbara Anderson.
Oh, good.
When she has sex with Kane, then Roy, and then with Brian on the slag heap, it makes me shout,
Allez, Barbara!
Yes, she's her own woman, isn't she?
And when she steals the cigarettes from Monsieur Hargreaves' corner shop, I want to stand up and celebrate her agency.
Well, one aims to please.
So, the launch will be tomorrow at midday, and we will be broadcast on our YouTube channel, Club Direct. You know it?
I'm not sure we can get Klopp Direct, can we, Maggie?
We're very, very popular, even more now that all the other talk shows are full of stupid chit-chat about nothing.
The heart sinks.
Oh, these dumb actors and footballers plugging their children's books.
Well, I hope we can give Who Would Fardel's Bear a bit of a puff.
For sure. On Klopp Direct channel, we discuss everything. Politics, war, sex.
Naturally.
Philosophy, economics, sex, architecture.
That's good to hear, Claude.
The spirit of 68 is alive on Club Direct.
Sur les pavés, la plage.
Excuse me?
Under the pavements, never mind. So, how about I read a bit from Fardel's, the second and third chapters, perhaps, and then we get straight into the interview, yes?
For sure. Nothing is off limits. You can join us, Maggie. Maybe talk about sex for older women. It's an important subject.
Well, yes, it is, but I think I'll just sit and watch.
You want to bang a tambourine or something?
No, thank you, Claude. I'll be fine with my knitting.
And of course, I want to ask you about working with the director, Jasmil Van.
Oh, there's not a huge amount to say about him. We haven't seen each other for years and never really got on.
Oh, excellent.
Those dolphin movies, I mean, really.
But in this country, he is known for his early film.
Which one's that?
Oh, in French, the title is C'est un monde nu. I don't know how you say.
It's a nude world.
Yes, of course.
Ed is in it.
No, not really.
He is, playing badminton.
You appeared in C'est un monde nu.
No, that's someone else. Robin Asquith, probably.
Oh, c'est bizarre. Anyway, I want to say we are very excited for the edition club issue of Who Would Fardel's Bear?
It's an honor to be here, Claude.
Oh, but you don't. The Emily people have started again. À demain, Monsieur Riordan.
Champagne, madame.
Oh, yes, please.
Well, I thought that all went rather well.
You've certainly cheered up.
Santé! As Carol Vorderman said on the front cover of A Taste of Gascony, 2011.
Perhaps you could read some of that on Klopp Direct.
Well, I was thinking of talking a bit about the tragic disappearance of the single TV play, along with writers' meal allowances.
Do you think perhaps a word of praise for French new writing might be more dignified?
Well, I haven't even read any English new writing, have you?
I skimmed a piece in Saturday's Telegraph saying that Montélimar is the nougat capital of France. Not sure that's quite edgy enough for Claude.
I'd happily move here, you know, if only to escape the English property programmes telling you to move to France.
Well, there are some dirt cheap places in the Charente. I saw it on Help, We Bought a Village.
I can quite believe you did. Which channel is that? I could approach them with Help, I used to be a novelist. How cheap are these places exactly?
10,000 for a derelict barn.
Not impossible. All goes well tomorrow, I might be offered a chair of literature somewhere. Higher education in Europe is one big gravy train. Might be able to stretch to a vineyard.
Shall we pause the property plans until after Klopp Direct?
La décision, monsieur.
Merci. Good grief. There, keep the change. Buy yourself a watermill or something.
Et nous reviendrons pour parler avec l'auteur célèbre Ed Riordan après cette pause.
Okay, off for the commercials. Ed, would you like to join me on here, please?
Yes, on the bed. Yes, right.
Cool. Maggie, there's room for one more if you...
I'll stay out of this, I think.
You're not knitting?
No, I finished my swimsuit.
Maybe we see you in it sometime. Okay, on y va. Roulez.
Bienvenue encore en studio Club Direct. Ce soir, nous avons la chance d'avoir en studio l'écrivain anglais Ed Riordan.
Mon plaisir, Claude. Merci.
Auteur célèbre de « Qui porterait les fardeaux ?»
Qu'est-ce qu'on peut dire de ce livre ?« Fardeau ». C'est un roman très furieuse de Leicestershire, mais aussi une histoire de la sexualité, violence et nudité sur le slagip.
Please, Ed, in English, we can understand.
Oh, well, for sure. So, chapter two. Barbara and Ken consummated their love in the fold of a slagip.
Sorry I'm late, everybody. Crawling with police outside.
Ah, welcome, Monsieur Jasmil Van, to Club Direct.
You must be the sensational court.
That's right. Won't you join us on the bed, Monsieur Hollywood Director?
What are you doing here?
Oh, I thought I'd come and help you.
Rather comfy on here, isn't it? Shove up, Ridden. What lovely friends you have, Claude.
It's so cool to get you guys together.
Oh, how wonderful. Agent Ping said he was coming on your show, so I wanted to make sure my old buddy didn't make a fool of himself by moaning about his meal allowances.
No need, thanks. I'm going to be reading a couple of chapters from my novel.
Do you know, Claude, when I first got the script of this movie, it was the most exciting, thrilling, liberating moment of my life. And do you know why?
Good script, that's why.
Because I realised we had to rip it up and start all over again right from scratch.
It appeared I'd been stitched up by Edition Klopp. Jazz hijacked the event with an exemplary display of solipsistic twaddle, talking the baffled audience through highlights of his oeuvre, such as the horror flick My Vulpine Valentine, which frightened nobody except possibly the magpies on my local allotments when the free DVDs were strung up on canes. Then there was his homage to the GB Women's Olympic swimming triumph, Babes in the Pool, featuring at least one hapless atomic kitten, and its execrable sequel, Pool Dudes.
My pitch to Sony was very simple. The Pool Dudes arrive in their maintenance truck, but here's the twist. They're all babes.
Cool. But can I take you right back to the start of your career and a film still extremely popular in France? C'est un monde nu.
You've done your homework.
Excuse me, but I thought we were supposed to be talking about my novel.
Excuse me, but I'm talking about my movies.
Ken and Barbara consummated their love
in
the slack.
In it.
No, you put a sock
Go
in
and
it.
Sit down over there with your girlfriend who's got another bloke anyway.
All right. You want to take this outside, Milvain?
Yeah, I'm only too happy. You, apology for a third-rate writer.
Fantastic! Ça, c'est très club direct.
Come on, then.
Alors, encore du vin. Bravo!
I'll drag you out of the gutter. And from the gutter to your level is up! Ow!
Unlock this door! I'm about to become a member of the Maison of Lords!
Careful, Jazz. Marie Antoinette took that tone with them.
Where the hell's Ping got to? Should have been a fruit basket here by now.
I have to say, Maggie, the knitted rainbow bather's first outing was an unqualified success.
I was trying to create a diversion.
Demanding the right to swim for free in Bristol docks seemed to shut everyone up.
And look where this piece of narcissism got us. Banged up in a French jail.
Merci, monsieur.
You took your time, Ping.
Right. I am mightily disappointed in all three of you. What have you got to say for yourselves?
I can't see that we did anything very wrong. Merely entered into the spirit of a French chat show.
You disrupted the location filming of Emily in Paris, Ed. Season 4. That's a jail sentence here, which is exactly what you deserve. However, on this occasion, thanks to me, the lovely gendarmes have agreed to let you go.
So they should.
So how did you manage that, Ping?
Oh, Brigitte Macron was Granny's au pair in the 60s, so I made a call to the Elysee Palace. Granny said if you speak to them firmly, they usually do as they're told, and she was right.
Well, now you can make another call, Ping. Get me a cab to the Georges Sank.
Well, that's where you're staying, is it? I might have guessed.
I need another week there to recover from this.
You know what, Jazz? I think we'll come with you. Better book a limo, Ping.
Well, this is all extremely comfortable, isn't it?
I'm not sure I'd want to be paying $3,000 a night for it.
All that, and you still get Lipton's tea bags. Are we going out for dinner or...?
Oh, room service, I think.
Good. Then settle down to watch ourselves on Clock Direct.
It might be on now if I can get this remote to my...
So what did you actually say to Jazz in the back of the limo?
What if I...
I noticed that It's a Nude World came up.
Mr. Nude there. No, that's not...
Ed?
Hmm?
What did you say?
About what? Oh, yes, I told Jazz I was only 17 when he coerced me to appear naked in the opening sequence. I said I was 2 months underage.
And were you?
No, but the threat of a lawsuit was enough to terrify him into putting our room and food on his credit card for the week. Ah, here we are.
Et nous sommes désolés, ce n'est pas possible de vous montrer le discutation avec Jasmine.
Oh, they're not showing the interview.
Mais encore une fois, Club Direct nous présentant un movie 2020. C'est un monde nu.
Ah, there I am, look.
Where?
I'm about to serve. What girl wouldn't want him for a husband?
Oh, not you with all that hair, surely. Oh, gosh. Yes, it is you.
Ed Redden's Week starred Christopher Douglas, Rachel Atkins, Sally Grace, Pippa Hayward, Philip Jackson, Barbara O'Shaughnessy, Nicholas Sanderson, Ellen Thomas and Geoffrey Whitehead. It was written by Christopher Douglas. The producer was Dawn Ellis, and it was a BBC Studios production.
And next week, Ed rediscovers the pub quiz.
Discover unique stories.
To have the king commission a portrait of me, that is something beyond my expectations.
Windrush, portraits of a generation.
Where did COVID come from? For every one of the millions of lives lost, the answer matters.
Fever, the hunt for COVID's origin.
How does a piece of plastic make payments using just ones and zeros?
The secret genius of modern life. Unique stories only on the BBC. Watch on iPlayer, listen on BBC Sounds.
BBC News at 7 o'clock. The Bank of England has said that interest rates won't fall until there's solid evidence that rapid price rises are slowing. The base rate has risen by a quarter of a percentage point to 5.25%. It's the 14th increase in a row and takes borrowing costs to their highest level since April 2008. Steve's monthly mortgage repayments have tripled and he's now facing his home being repossessed.
Every single day, waiting for a letter, waiting for the arrears to go up, waiting for the mortgage company to get a repossession letter in the post. I mean, it's been 6 months have been quite cruel, really.
Five people have been arrested after Greenpeace activists climbed onto the roof of the Prime Minister's home in North Yorkshire and covered the house in black fabric. The environmental group was protesting against Rishi Sunak's decision to approve new oil and gas exploration licences in the North Sea. The government says the measures are needed to reduce energy imports. Donald Trump has called the criminal charges against him an unprecedented